Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Uy, grandes torres. Una gran ciudad.
That voice was a child named Kevin, who was asked what he thought the United States was like. His answer was simply, wow, big towers, a great city. What you can't see from our audio clip is that Kevin is riding on the top of a freight train, barreling from Mexico into the United States. Kevin is one of the stories that you follow in Which Way Home, a documentary that gives a child's eye view to the horrors of immigrants trying to make it across the border to the States. Nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary, we'll see on Sunday if it wins. Which Way Home is the fifth and final highlight of the five-part Oscar series that we've been doing this week, and the only Spanish-language film in the bunch, as we've looked at all the films nominated for Best Documentary. We'll let other people talk about Avatar and Up all week, but from following children hopping trains to talking to families split apart by the trip across the border, director Rebecca Camassa brings you to the front lines of the immigration battle, and she joins us now to talk briefly about Which Way Home and the process of making the film. Rebecca, welcome and congratulations on your Oscar nomination.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell us about the process of finding the stars of your film, Kevin, who we just heard from, and Fito. Who are they, and why were they trying to get across the border?
Well, Kevin and Fito, Kevin is 14 and Fito is 13 at the time we were filming. They're both friends from a small town in Honduras, and we met them in Chiapas in Mexico. They had traveled from Honduras into Mexico, where they were sitting on the tracks waiting for a freight train to come so they could go north. So we met them in a town named Arriaga, Mexico, in the Chiapas region.
These are stories of invisible people. How do you find them and how do you gain their trust?
Well, they're invisible to us here in the United States, and their stories and struggles are. But if you go into Mexico and you go to areas where migrants congregate, they're not invisible. They're there. All you do is show up, and you'll see many, many people trying to get north. So they're not that invisible in Mexico.
We already heard a clip from Kevin perched atop a train. Let's hear one more clip from him, again, all in Spanish, because the movie is in Spanish. You'll translate for us after.
Ay, todo Estados Unidos. No, si Dios quiere, que sea una ciudad, pero quedarme ahí para siempre, si es posible.
¿Algún lugar en especial que quieras conocer en Estados Unidos?
Manhattan.
So, Rebecca, for the non-Spanish speakers among us, could you translate?
Well, basically, I'll paraphrase. You know, Kevin was asked, you know, what do you want to do in the United States? And he says, oh, I'd like to go there and just stay there forever if possible. And he's asked, well, is there any place in particular you'd like to go in the United States? And he says, Manhattan. And when we were on the train in that interview listening to him, it just struck me immediately. He doesn't say New York or California. He says Manhattan, a very specific borough in New York. And I think it's because, you know, these kids watch movies, see television, and, of course, New York, Times Square, Manhattan, you know, is in movies a lot. So they're very influenced by what they see of the United States through movies and films and television. Actually, when Kevin was deported back to his country, we finally were able to go to his home and meet his parents. He was watching what was on the television with Spider-Man, you know, swinging through Times Square.
Mm.
So, you know, immediately,
like any kid,
I got the answer to my question.
How about that? People know the immigrant story. People know the story of kids trying to come across the border. What are you trying to tell? And they have their opinions about it, whatever they are. What are you trying to tell us that's new?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of people in the United States don't necessarily know what's going on or what that struggle is or what that journey is. So first off, making the film was just to bring this to light, to make people aware of it so that they could think deeper about the immigration issue and think deeper about what's going on. I don't particularly want to force a particular agenda, whether you should be pro or anti-immigrant, what all that's about. I just want the public to be informed.
And one of the things that we've noticed that your documentary and really all the Oscar-nominated films this year, or many of them, in the Best Documentary category, like The Most Dangerous Man in America, mm-hmm. about Daniel Ellsberg. We had him and the filmmakers on earlier in the week. Don't try and tell us how to change the situation. You simply report in a complete and complex way, and then trust the viewers to make a decision on what you've presented. Is it because these stories just speak for themselves, or you don't feel it's your role as a filmmaker? Why do you stop at that line?
Well, both. I mean, I think if you're really telling a compelling story, you don't really need to be the one, you know, leading people or manipulating people into thinking something. You just present the facts, show the reality, and let people make up their own minds. That's my belief system, and that's my approach to filmmaking. You know, if you have a very strong story and it's compelling and truthful, people will get it, and it's up to them what they want to do with that information.
We have one more clip, an interview with a woman who's reflecting on having made the choice to leave her children and go to the United States to work. Very short clip, but again, it's in Spanish. Let's listen.
Ya nosotros las mujeres que dejamos a nuestros hijos y venimos a luchar por ellos ya no recuperamos el amor de ellos. Es el pago que pagamos por estar en este país.
¿Y usted sigue pensando que vale la pena?
No. Se pierde el amor de la familia.
So she said it wasn't worth it. Is that what she said there?
Yes, basically she says that's what we women suffer. That's what we suffer to be here in the United States. We lose the love of our families by separating from them. And then she's asked, you know, is it worth it? And what's surprising to me is I thought she would say, yes, it's worth it. You know, we're here. We've been able to send money back to our families and help them. But actually, she ended up saying, no, it's not worth it because you lose your family. You lose the love of your family. And for her, her daughter is a stranger to her. And I'm glad you played this clip because it's such an important also part of the immigration story. People who come here who aren't documented, who live in the shadows, you know, they live a shadow existence. They're in fear of, you know, being deported. And at the same time, they're also separated from their families. So it's they pay a huge price. And that's what she says, you know, the price we pay. And that's her reflection on it after decades of being, you know, in the United States.
This is the end of a five-part series that we've done all this week leading up to Oscar Sunday, where we've profiled all five of the nominees for Best Documentary, Best Feature-Length Documentary. And we've asked all the filmmakers, what would winning an Oscar do for the cause? Because they've all been causes. They've been the cause of government transparency with Daniel Ellsberg, treating humanely the dolphins in the cove, and so on across the week. Is there something that winning an Oscar would do for the cause of the people who you made this documentary about if you win on Sunday night?
Well, I hope so. I mean, certainly it boosts the profile of this film. I mean, we really believe that the immigration issues and immigration reform really need to happen. And I have one hope that if the film does win the Oscar, that it'll really put the issue back into the public sphere and, you know, back into dialogue about how to solve these problems. So, yes, of course, I hope that it does. I mean, I don't think one award necessarily will change the situation, considering this immigration issue is such a complex one. But I sure hope that it does make a difference for the film and for the people who suffer. I mean, migrants are really suffering in many horrible ways that people don't know about. And if this film can help alleviate that suffering, we've done our job.
Rebecca, and I'm sorry, do you say Camisa?
Camisa, either one.
Camisa. C-A-M-M-I-S-A. Rebecca Camisa is the filmmaker of Which Way Home, the last of the five, as we've profiled all five of them this week, of the movies nominated for the Best Documentary Oscar. We'll see if you get to take the stage on Sunday night. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.